Welcome to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk AM 1150. Have a great show today. In just a couple minutes, we'll be talking with Alexandra Horowitz, who is the author of Inside of a Dog, What Dogs See, Smell, and Know. And she's also got a book called On Looking, 11 Walks with Expert Eyes. And this is the last show before the Sparks Conference, which is coming up this weekend. Very exciting. It's a conference in Redmond, Washington. And there are some nationally and internationally renowned scientists in dog behavior and I guess ethology, which is animal behavior, the science of animal behavior. And I have had the pleasure and honor of talking with a few different of these presenters, and Dr. Horowitz is the last of this sort of pre-Sparks series. So we're going to start talking with her about her book, Inside of a Dog, and about what she'll be talking about at the Sparks Conference. Alexandra Horowitz, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So thanks so much for your time today. I know we're talking to you from New York. How's the weather over there?
Hot.
Yeah. Humid?
I'm looking forward to traveling west.
Yeah.
Hot and humid. Yeah.
Yep. I'm from Massachusetts, actually, so I'm familiar with that brutal humidity. I love your book. I love how you write. You're very,
thank you.
Very eloquent, yeah. And I'm really looking forward to hearing you speak in person this weekend. When do you leave? Tomorrow?
Friday, yeah, and I'll be there for the Saturday and Sunday full days.
Great. So, lots to talk about, and I've been on this topic now for about a month, sort of pre-Sparks, talking with Mark Beckoff and Dr. Michael Fox and Clive Wynn, and you, of course, talk a lot about, I read your book, Inside of a Dog, and then I see that you have another book out, On Looking, 11 Walks with Expert Eyes, that I'll be sure to read that as well. One of the things that I want to get to today about what you do is you spent some time in your book really talking about how do dogs experience the world? What is it like to be a dog, essentially? What dogs see, smell, and know? And really studying this scientifically. It's such an interesting endeavor, I think, to try to study something scientifically that's another living being, and there's so much that you can measure. Some of the things that I thought were really interesting, like I've said on the show before, dog's sense of smell is like beyond our comprehension, I think. I mean, you gave a lot of really great information about actually what we do know about how they measured the airflow in dog's nose, and actually that as they exhale, it actually draws the air that they sniffed earlier further into the nose, and like all of this really interesting stuff about the sense of smell. But I feel like it's like trying to comprehend how big the universe is. Like you get to a certain point and then it's like your mind just explodes because like they can smell things on a molecular level. It's like, how do we comprehend that? Really what that's like?
Well, we smell things on a molecular level too. But where our vision kind of trumps our interest in attending to those smells. And we have decent smell, nothing like the dog. But humans just don't bother to do a lot of it. And so you're right, I think. Absolutely, it's almost imponderable trying to imagine your way into the mind of another animal. But it's not futile. And although inevitably we'll use human terms and analogies, some of those analogies can be powerful, I think. So for me, one of the entrees into imagining the perspective of the dog, and you're right, that's very, really the focal question for me, is trying to map smells to sight. So if we could reimagine smells as something that we could see, and having information, visual information that it must have for the dog through smell, then I think you start to get a little bit of that idea of what it is like. Now, what's it phenomenologically like to be in the dog's skin? Yeah, I mean, that's going to be impossible. But I also can't imagine being you or any other person.
Right, totally.
You know, I just take some leap of faith based on inferences and based on what you tell me and based on the similarities I notice between us and that there are between us. So mm-hmm. I think we can do the same things with dogs. And what's interesting about this conference and the people you talked to before, as contrasted with me, is we all have the same interest, but we all really came to it for different reasons and from different perspectives. So we overlap a lot, but that means that what Mark was doing when he as a biologist entered the field, or what Michael was doing when he approached studying dogs such a long time ago, and what Clive was doing when he approached as a comparative psychologist, and what I'm doing, you know, all are motivated by slightly different interests and questions. And I think that's a really fertile place to begin a field, you know, and that's what we have with this dog cognition field.
Mm. Well, I know from my perspective, it's been interesting to interview you all so close together, which I normally wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's been, you know, to read Mark Beckoff's book and then talk to him and then talk to Clive and then read your book and talk to you. And like, to, from my perspective, getting, you know, all of your different perspectives, I mean, it's almost overwhelming.
Well, that's actually pretty formidable, and almost nobody takes that course in dogs that you that you just did.
Yeah, really. Certainly grateful for the opportunity. Yeah, you know, when I read that in your book, it was actually probably it definitely connected for me when you said, like, imagine you look around the room right now, like I'm looking around the studio, I see a whole bunch of pieces of paper and cards over there, I see a vacuum cleaner, a handheld vacuum, like, that if you could actually smell all of the things that you can see. And it was like, oh, that actually makes sense to me in a way that nothing else ever has.
Oh, great.
So that was
cool.
Well,
I think it's a continued exercise for me, too, to try to understand what analogy is going to work, or and furthermore, be accurate. And but, you know, watching dog behavior, they tell us a lot mm-hmm. just through their behavior. And so that's constantly informative.
Yeah. There are a lot of things that you mentioned, like even the difference about the height and, mm-hmm. you know, that if you think that it's not different living in the world at the dog's height, think again, like get down. I have a dachshund too. I have four dogs, mm-hmm. but, and they are all different sizes. She is certainly the shortest one though. And it does make sense. I mean, and I can see differences. I think her height actually affects her behavior. I mean, and I've mm-hmm. seen that in small dogs as well. They think that they have kind of similar things, and they feel more vulnerable because they're so small.
And this type of thing is something that I think it's easier for people to imagine because they might have been confronted with the idea before. Imagine being a child type, right? And or sort of the child cam. What's it like going around when you're around a bunch of adult knees at a cocktail party or something? And we can appreciate how, yes, there's something familiar, but there's something fundamentally different about that. So that's a good entree, it seems to me, into this whole weird parallel universe dogs have.
Mm-hmm. One of the things back to the sense of smell that I thought was entertaining, because I was like, oh, that's my dog. I have a year and 4 month old male lab who's still intact.
Mm-hmm.
And he licks after, I have two female dogs, when they pee, he'll go and smell it and then he'll lick it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, JJ. And you actually like spoke to this in the book. And I was sort of giggling to myself because I was like, I know. I'm like, oh, do you have to do that? And other things like that. And he's just like really getting into it. I'm like, you're getting as much information as you possibly can right now.
And it's a little easier to appreciate, isn't it? I mean, at least a slight amount easier to appreciate when you know what it's about, when you know that it's not just a disgusting thing that they do, and you might still feel it's a disgusting thing, but you realize, right, this is how they get information. I mean, imagine how we, well, you know, when you smell anything, it's because an odorant molecule goes into your nose. You know, it's not like it's just in the world and you
right.
have this distant relationship to it.
Right.
You are inhaling it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, for some reason, we might find that conceptually disgusting, but we do it all the time. We're not afraid to smell things for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And really that's all the dog is doing with the lick, is they're actually, you know, getting it to the olfactory receptors. They're not tasting it. They're trying to swallow it. And so they're doing the same thing that we do all the time. They just have better equipment for doing it. And that makes that knowledge actually does change my emotional reaction to a lot of the dog's behavior that I would have had when I was a person living with dogs and kind of ignorant about dogs or just, yeah, you know, normally knowledgeable about dogs.
Right.
So I think that's fun for people sometimes to realize they can have more than one way to see the behavior or the creature in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think anybody who lives with a dog or is just interested should definitely read this book. It's called Inside of a Dog. And it's so interesting to just have you go through all of these different aspects of being a dog, their bark, and talking about everything that's been measured about barking and, you know, sense of smell and sight. And you just kind of really go through and piece a lot of these out and just give information about really more in more depth so that we're understanding really what's going on. So it's not like, oh, why are you licking that? It's like, okay, I can see what he's doing, you know, and I have my own reaction to it, but he obviously doesn't think it's gross.
And so, for myself, I think it's really changed my relationship with my dogs who I've lived with to have that kind of knowledge. And I really love being able to investigate, you know, the mystery that is their behavior all the time and not see it as familiar and already known.
Yeah. Well, that is actually one of my next questions. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back more with Alexandra Horowitz, who's one of the presenters at the Sparks Conference this weekend. Caninescience.info is the website to find out more about that. You can still register for it. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk AM 1150.
Feet which pitter-patter on the linoleum floor. You can hear my toenails in the middle of the night. My taxes, I belong to the Johnsons, but they don't own me, they just feed me, they just bought me one day. No one owns me, I'm Dixie the tiny dog. And in the middle of the day I sit in the sun and I hear young children call me a wiener dog. Perhaps that's what I am. The Germanic term is dachshund and I like that.
Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different proteins to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their Burien shop, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your home. Natural Pet Pantry will even work with your vet to custom blend a prescription diet for your pet's unique needs. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. Natural Pet Pantry. It just makes sense.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Canine Caviar, we cover the world of animals. This week, June 30th, it's the last Sunday of the month, and that means it's a shelter, rescue, sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll cover the birds with Mollywood Avian Sanctuary in Bellingham and the Macaw Sanctuary in Carnation. We'll cover the horses with All Breed Equine Rescue in Marysville and get a report on their first annual Community Awareness Day. Plus something new, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 11.
Want a faster metabolism? Desperate for more energy throughout the day? Food is our most powerful medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition Radio, I'll answer your burning nutrition questions and offer real solutions for your family. On Passionate Nutrition Radio, you'll learn how to transform how you look and feel with the foods that you eat. My name is Jennifer Adler, and I'm a nutritionist, chef, and founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 6 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound area. Join me on Passionate Nutrition Radio for a weekly serving of nutrition wisdom. Learn more at PassionateNutrition.com.
That's Passionate Nutrition every Friday at noon. Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Ahead of the talk radio curve, naturally. Alternative Talk 1150.
If I were ever incarcerated, but I don't know what I would do wrong. My body yields no evil inclination. I'm a pure wiener dog. My name is Dixie and I go dancing.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. And we're back with Dr. Alexandra Horowitz, who's the author of Inside of a Dog, also Onlooking, 11 Walks with Expert Eyes, and one of the presenters at the Sparks International Conference coming up this weekend in Redmond, Washington. Such a treat to have this locally. So welcome back to the show. And you actually spoke to something that I was planning on asking you anyway. You know, I was kind of thinking to myself as I'm reading your book and getting some insight into what you know and your experience. And I'm curious, because of the depth of how you've studied and observed and your education and all of that, because you also talk a lot about Pumpernickel and who has since passed, and then Finnegan, who is your current dog. And I'm curious as to what your perspective is, or your reflection or thoughts on, if you have thought that your, because of the extent of the research that you've done, is your relationship, how has that impacted your relationship with your own dogs? And how do you imagine it's different from that of the average dog owner?
I think I have a lot more patience with my dogs, actually, than I did before. And maybe than the average dog owner, if maybe I was an average dog owner. I was always interested in and sensitive to animals and concerned about their plight, kind of, and, you know, wanting things to go well for them. And that included my own dogs, but I also left my dog all day while I was at work. And at the time, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about trying to find an outlet for her in the middle of the day, where now a lot of people do. But at the time, it wasn't that occurrence, and I just wasn't in my mind, you know. So there was some leap of thinking, empathizing, kind of, that I hadn't gotten to, that I now really have. And that means that I am very attentive all the time to their, you know, who they're with, what they want to do, what I'm providing for them, if something is troubling for them. And I don't think it's obsessive at all. It's very easy, just the way you're thinking about another animate thing, and you're in the room with you, you know, who provides a lot of, like, a great relationship for you. And I also have changed my walks a lot with them. When I lived with Pumpernickel, we really started doing these smell walks, as I described in the book, where she was getting on in years, and so she didn't really want to have as long a walk to begin with. But my idea of the walk was still, you go out to get a little exercise or to allow her to relieve herself, et cetera. And then it changed to just follow her nose, basically, and stop when she wanted to stop and dig her nose into something for 5 minutes. Just stop there.
Right. Because they will. They will stop for five minutes and just smell and smell and smell. Yeah.
Right. And with my own with my dogs now, we have two dogs. We'll do that too. Not every walk is an exercise walk or just about peeing. It's also to let them smell what's going on outside. This, like, this exciting olfactory universe that they're closed away from some good chunk of the day. And so in every way, I'm just really interested in kind of maximizing the situation for them. And it has almost nothing to do with, like, products for dogs and, you know, and things that humans think are interesting. It's really all from the dog's perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's been great. So I think that people, you know, come to that at different levels. But a lot of people are not really aware of that at all, because there's a very exhaustive kind of industry and worldview of looking at the dog as something which has to be trained and you know, just potty trained and to sit, and then that's kind of it. Then they could be left alone. They should be able to, like, fit in the family.
Right. They'll be happy.
They'll be happy. Our dogs are always happy. They're, you know, and that's kind of consumed our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have gotten away from that, certainly, you know, but I'm on the far end of that, you know, and I'm sure I have a ways to go. I have met many more things to learn, and my relationships will change with them still. I'm sure of it.
Well, it is something that I've talked on the show about plenty of times in the past and on a regular basis with my clients, because what I'm doing is teaching them how to communicate with their dogs. They have expectations. Oftentimes I'm working with challenging behaviors and, you know, understanding, well, why is the dog doing it, first of all, and then talking about a solution. But I'd say one of the biggest things and most common things is that people just are not present. I mean, in general, let alone to their dog, because things are so, I mean, everybody, especially in Seattle, is glued to their phone, and you can do five things at once from your phone, and everything is faster, faster, faster. And when you're training or working with a dog or trying to modify a behavior, you got to slow down and just get present. And that alone is a huge shift for people. Like, oh.
I agree. It's an illusion that dogs are just simple, right?
Yeah.
That they're we forget literally that they're animate and that they have constant needs and demands. And the way you talk about, you know, a challenging behavior is just right as far as I'm concerned, because people just view dogs as misbehaving all the time, as though they should have an instant, immediate understanding of what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. And the whole notion that a dog, on coming into a human household, sort of has this, like, you know, super ego, which describes to them the right and wrong, the rules. It's incredible.
I know.
That we would do that. And then so we view all their behavior in that light. But that's such a misguided way to start or continue to have a relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you can. You can have a whole lifelong relationship with a dog like that. And many have. But mm-hmm. I think it's so much better to not use misbehavior, for instance. And as you say, slow down and look at their dog and see what's happening that causes the behavior. And sometimes just that can change it.
Yeah, for sure. You talk about the attention of animals, and you say this is one facet of the study of animal cognition, which asks what an animal subject understands about the mental states of others. And I think dogs, from my observation anyway, are experts in people.
Right.
And people are rather clueless about, you know, it's not a mutual thing. It's something people, we can get there. I mean, I think it is fundamentally a natural relationship. But we, I think, have, especially in modern times, have really kind of strayed a little bit from that natural connection. But I think dogs are, I mean, it's really fascinating to me that this is really being studied, because my experience and I don't know, opinion is that dogs are incredibly attentive to us for a number of reasons. I mean, you could talk about their sense of smell and all of these things, but they're very sensitive to people.
I sometimes call them anthropologists among
yeah.
us, because
yeah.
they're watching it. I mean, think about what they're doing. If you're in the room with them, it's, yeah. you know, a lot of the time they're watching you and you're learning your habits, and yet we don't ever do that, right? I think there was a Swedish film about a program that actually happened in some rural area, where the anthropologist went and sat in a little chair in the corner of people's houses, like up on the wall, basically, and observed, you know, how they behaved around the kitchen table and so forth, trying to be that distant observer, although that must have been very peculiar. But we never do that with dogs. You just don't sit around and watch your dog all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we would learn a lot if we did. I mean, that is a non-reciprocal relationship. So it's nice that it's getting some attention by science, and then that changes how owners feel when they look at their dog again. They see something different than they had before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot there, for sure. I mean, in talking about play, it's so cool that there's one of the things that I've noticed through my interviews is a heavy focus on play behavior and how loaded it is, and that people are in your field are really studying it closely and really
yeah.
learning a lot about what is actually going on in play.
Right, and that was something that didn't used to happen with almost any animal. Play, well, there's been a lot of research in play, but it's never been one of the main behaviors studied, because we didn't know what its function was, as maybe you talked about with Mark. And yet, it's this really rich, mm-hmm. really rich behavior that is highly complex and fast-paced. And with dogs, it's especially interesting because it continues into adulthood, so it has some different function, clearly, you know, a social function.
Mm-hmm.
And But when we look at it at a play as owners, we just sort of say, oh, they're playing, or, oh, they stopped playing. You know, and that's kind of it. But there's so much going on in there, and that's it's the kind of good prototype for how all of dog behavior is richer. That doesn't mean, like, all is sophisticated or all is highly intelligent or not. It just means so much else going on besides that first pass glimpse that we give it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's really valuable to spread this even idea or notion and then information. You know, your book, I've seen your book all over the place for some time now, and I've actually had it for a long time with the intention to read it. And then this gave me a great reason to read it. And it's great. I really recommend it. And but for the average, like, one of my missions, just to help dogs out there in the world. I mean, there's a lot of challenges, I would say, that are even bigger than this. But for the average dog owner to just be more attentive and to just look at their dog and look for the dog's thought process if they're asking the dog to do something, because there is one. And
right.
You know, and dogs know right away. As soon as somebody is tuned into them, they give it right back. And it's, I think, a real disservice to dogs for us to not be, you know, for us to really barely be present to them and to think that they're really just a sort of vessel for our affection. There's a lot more to it, especially since the nature of our relationship has been working together.
That's right. When people were working with their dogs, they didn't treat them like this. You know, they were very attentive to their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changed since their role as companion is their greatest work project.
Right. Yeah. And not terribly mentally stimulating for them, unfortunately.
Certainly not.
Well, I really, really appreciate your time today, and I can't wait to meet you in person and to hear you speak this weekend at the Sparks Conference. That website is caninescience.info if you'd like to find out more about that. Still time to register. And then you can see Alexander Horowitz online at insideofadog.com. There's a lot of information about your work there and other publications. And thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Julie.
All right. See you this weekend.
Okay, good.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauley. Tune into my show, Get Active, each Tuesday at 12 noon on Alternative Talk, 1150. Each week, we invite a guest to talk about one of the wonderful activities in the Puget Sound region, ones that you may want to participate in. We'll focus on how adult beginners can comfortably get into all of these activities. You'll learn a lot about how you can get active. Be sure to listen. That's Get Active with me, Pat Pauley, at 12 noon each Tuesday on Alternative Talk. 1150.
Coming June 19th to the Redmond Marriott, it's the Society for Promotion of Applied Research in Canine Science Conference.
It's amazing. So amazing. This incredible conference coming up locally in Redmond, end of June. I'm just blown away by all of these people who are going to be here. Mark Beckhoff, Michael Fox, Clive Wynn, Adam McCloshy, Ray Coppinger, Alexander Horowitz, etc. These incredible authors and scientists are all coming together in Redmond, and we have the opportunity to go and participate in this. caninescience.info. I'll post a link to that on our homepage, dogradioshow.com, this is really, like, maybe not once in a lifetime, but the first opportunity in this area ever. So super exciting.
Go to caninescience.info for more information and to register now.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150. Extra mile, or an extra bark, or an extra smile. 'Cause I never felt so free.
It was just my dog and me. Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. And we are back with Lee Rhodes, who's the owner of Glassy Baby, a very fabulous local company that is also dog crazy. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I just recently learned about a campaign that you guys have going on. But before we talk about that, why don't you tell us a little bit about Glassy Baby?
Well, we are just a local glass-blowing manufacturer in Seattle, Washington. And we're in the Madrona neighborhood. And we have a factory that has approximately 70 glass blowers that all work on and off during the week. We're open 7 days, and we make one thing, which is a little cup or votive or vase, and we call it a Glassy Baby. And we give 10% off the top on each one, so we give $4.40 to all kinds of organizations. And generally, we kind of keep we try to give to cancer patients, kind of in between that health care and family, unrestricted giving, and then we give definitely to animals.
Mm. And you have dogs even in your glass-blowing studio.
Yeah, I would say that the majority of the people that work at Glassy Baby are dog lovers and have dogs. And the great news is a lot of people adopt their dogs, and so the dogs have kind of had some sort of hardship that they've kind of come through with the love and attention of their owner. So they all are have good personalities and can come and lay down next to each other. And we've got just a really great foundation for a positive atmosphere for dogs at Glassy Baby that we absolutely love.
Mm. Well, it's just so nice. I mean,
it's a huge part of our brand.
Everywhere is better when there's a dog there.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Now you have a campaign that's going on now just through the end of June, your wet dog campaign.
Yes.
So tell us about how this was inspired.
Well, we worked with them, with Humane Society forever, mm-hmm. and we love them, and we think they do great work. And we kind of just, our theme at Glassy Baby is that we don't judge. And that's why we love dogs, because they don't either. So Glassy Baby, giving and the kindness we do is not conditional on what anyone else would do. And I think that really is just like your pet and especially your dog. So we decided to partner with Humane Society with our color wet dog, which actually looks like a wet dog when you light it. It's really a beautiful color. And we've done this before, but we love working with the Humane Society, and we've donated, I think, $20,000 to them.
Wow.
So it's been a really successful, wonderful campaign. They're incredible.
Mm.
We love to give. Right now, the campaign we're doing is really helping the Humane Society help animals after national disasters.
Mm.
For example, tornadoes or hurricanes, when many dogs need temporary care
mm-hmm.
until their owners are back on their feet or need a new home. That's really our sweet spot right now with this campaign we're doing.
Yeah, it's an important aspect of natural disasters. I've talked about this before on the show and even did a show about preparing for natural disasters for your pets. I am always thinking when I hear about a tsunami or tornado, I'm always thinking about, oh, no, the pets.
Yeah,
you know, the pets
absolutely.
That are affected. Yeah. So it's really, really great cause to support, because they need it
yeah.
as much as the people do, for sure.
Yeah.
One of the things that you got to check out these Glassy Babies. There's something very special about them. And I think that there's so much sort of energetically wrapped into them. They really are so beautiful. And there's so many different colors. And
yeah.
and it's not just a one color. Some of them have a few different colors. I mean, it's blown glass, so they're just gorgeous. Glassybaby.com is your website, and people can get Glassy Babies either through your local retail stores or through the website, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And those are the two ways that people can get Glossy Baby?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And you know, for a lot of people who can't have pets but are pet lovers, I mean, I know there's a ton of those out there, you know, having a Glossy Baby and lighting it is all that energy and the light, and what you talk about, I think, is just responding to, you know, we're all humans, so color and a dancing candle, you know, makes us all feel better, like you're like a pet would. And so sometimes they're just a great alternative to if you can't have a dog in your apartment building or something.
Yeah. Well, that was actually something that I was going to talk to you about, because you are a 3-time cancer survivor. And, you know, you talked about the peace and calm that you found when you dropped a tea light into a handmade glass cup, and just how sensitive you are to that, and color and light and healing. And there is, to me, a connection, like your connection to dogs makes perfect sense to me in that way, because there is something so calming and healing about the presence of an animal as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Incredibly so. And yeah. And just like animals too, I mean, I think the one thing we all undervalue in having a pet is that we respond to their love. I mean, it's hard to find anything else in the world that you actually bring your own response to. No one's telling you how to respond. No one's telling you to like or not like a dog. I mean, you know, you respond physically to all kind of dogs and animals. And I think that the Glossy Baby helps you do the same thing. You know, you respond to a certain color. You respond to a certain individual Glossy Baby because they're all different. But it does reach that same place that I wish we all lived in more, that just that really deeply emoting and emotional place that dogs get you to.
Absolutely. I've said and will continue to say that I believe dogs in particular are, because of the nature of their relationship with people in our society, at least American society, is that they seemed like a kind of a lifeline to our animal selves, because we're so technology in our heads, faster, not really being super present and even breathing. Like, just okay, like when I'm coaching people to work with their dogs, one of the first things is like, okay, you got to slow down. Like, people are just like at their dog, and it's like, okay, whoa, slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And how dogs really will need that to be, you know, educated and communicated with, but how beneficial it is for them to really draw that out of us, because we don't have a tendency to do that, at least not in urban environments.
Absolutely. I agree 100% with what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We need to all do it more.
Yeah. And it's really cool to witness that happening, however it happens. But to just sort of contribute to that is so important, especially in the context of healing, like you say.
Yeah.
You guys would be really interested, I think, in it's a forming nonprofit that I'm on the board of. It's an animal hospice organization that's local.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's animal hospice, end of life and palliative care. It's called the A-Help Project. And it's just all about supporting people and their pets through the end of life challenges, whether it be cancer or, you know, anything else that might come up. But just sort of that whole topic of end of life, which really is not something that's kind of talked about too much, but is so intense for people to go through. And it just seems like when you're talking about your interest in healing and support of that kind of aspect of living.
Yeah,
with
I'd love
pets.
To hear. I'd love to partner with you there. Yeah, we'd love to hear more about that.
We'll keep you posted for sure.
Yeah.
So your wet dog campaign goes on through the end of June.
Yes.
And this was inspired from one of your dogs, Wally.
Wally, he's the master of the universe. He is 13 and a half.
Aw.
And we got him from the pound. I think he's half shepherd, half lab. And so what's happening to him is he's really, you know, he's alive on love, and but he's got, his hips are kind of starting to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's got that shepherd is showing up a little bit more than I can even really, I try to make sure it doesn't, you know, I try to not let it alter our walking and everything schedule, but he's definitely slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
It's devastating to me. Devastating.
Mm. And Jackie is your other dog?
Jackie. Yep, she's 6 and a half, and I think she's half Border Collie, half Lab. And she's, you know, I think Wally has a lot of brain cells. I think Jackie has one. And it doesn't always work, but when she gets it engaged, she's you know, she's fantastic. She's the funniest, sweetest, you know, she's the kind of dog who turns her head around, runs, turns her head around, smacks into the wall all the time getting toys. And she just doesn't really... And she wants a job. I think she's got enough Border Collie in her where she really, really wants a job, and I don't have a great job for her, so... But I absolutely adore her. She's wonderful. Sleeps right next to me.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I have four dogs.
Yeah. You're lucky.
I know.
Lucky.
We have a pack.
And I what just, do you have?
Dachshund, two Australian cattle dogs, and a year and 4-month-old Lab.
Oh, sweet. What color Lab?
Yellow.
Oh, gorgeous. That's a nice mix you have there.
Yes, quite the gang.
Wow. Are they all besties, friends?
Yes, of course. I mean, we are definitely family. And I think the cattle dogs are a little, I think we're all looking forward to JJ the Lab reaching adulthood. He's a lot of dog, really nice dog, but he's just like, let's party all the time. And they're just go lay down.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He's like, you know, he's just like the good looking lifeguard. That's what those guys are.
He is. He is.
24/7.
Gorgeous. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they are great. Well, I'll email you actually when you said, talked about Wally and him slowing down. There's actually quite a bit that's really easy that you can do to
help. Oh, good for his hips. Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah. And just in general, raises energy as an older dog.
Okay.
So
I would love that.
I will email you some information about that.
Thank you. Yeah. That'd be so appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, glassybaby.com is the website. You can order online, or if you're local, you can go. And where are your locations in Seattle? You have one in Madrona?
One in Madrona, one in University Village, one on Main Street in Bellevue.
And where is it just the Madrona location that has the studio that you can actually look into and see the glass blowers and maybe even some dogs in there?
Yes. I mean, we make Glassy Baby every single day in there. That's the only place we make them.
Cool. Well, check it out. And then this weekend, you have a second sale going on?
Yeah, our second sale, which we do twice a year with just kind of our orphans, ones that either don't fit in the box or they don't light as well. But they're all very beautiful. I mean, they definitely need to be adopted. They're fantastic. And we open at 8, I think, and we go until the sale closes. And our website has 10% off from 8 o'clock until the sale closes. And usually with the amount we have, it'll be like 2.5 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
A frenzied sales this weekend, and then it'll be over.
Is this only at the Madrona location or at all
yes.
of them?
Okay. Yes, only at the factory.
Okay. And I recommend if you want to go early because it's a popular event.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be 80 this Saturday, so it's the first time ever not having a rainy sale, so we're excited.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much for your time and all
Julie,
that you do.
Wonderful to meet you.
Yeah. Well, I'll be in your shop soon, I'm sure.
Oh, good. I can't wait. And I'd love to meet you, and I'm excited for your tips for me for Wally. I'm just, you know, I carry him with me getting old every single day, so I would love those tips.
Yes, I'll send that to you later today.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with some information about when to spay and neuter and also some events coming up. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on AM 1150.
Morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Coming June 19th to the Redmond Marriott, it's the Society for Promotion of Applied Research in Canine Science Conference.
It's amazing. So amazing. This incredible conference coming up locally in Redmond, end of June. I'm just blown away by all of these people who are going to be here. Mark Beckhoff, Michael Fox, Clive Wynn, Adam McCloshy, Ray Coppinger, Alexander Horowitz, etc. These incredible authors and scientists are all coming together in Redmond, and we have the opportunity to go and participate in this. CanineScience.info. I'll post a link to that on our homepage, dogradioshow.com. This is a really, like, maybe not once in a lifetime, but the first opportunity in this area ever. So, super exciting.
Go to caninescience.info for more information and to register now.
Good afternoon, Seattle, and welcome to the Joper Show. I'm Joe Janot, live on Alternative Talk Radio. If you're going to have the Joper Show, you have to have On the Town with Lisa. You know, there is a lot of blogging and twittering about Seattle Sonics. I think the expansion is coming sooner than we expect. And then at the 2 o'clock hour, man, we're going to talk booms. So we brought in a cool cat from Three Point Production to talk about the event. Talk about a documentary. Just not any documentary. Talk about hip-hop, about the vibe of Seattle and how it sort of progressed.
We're talking food, sports, and fun every Friday, 1 to 3 here on Alternative Talk 1150 with the Jopra Show.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Nice song.
Well, the sunshine just came out. And
yeah.
We're suddenly feeling groovy, right?
Talking about slowing down with our dogs.
That's important.
It is. As you know, Eric.
Yeah.
You're an expert by now. 226 episodes now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I
probably
should...
a few people out there would like their dogs to slow down as well.
Yeah.
You know, some of them are bouncing off the walls.
That's true.
Especially as we heard in that last conversation.
Keeps me busy. So first of all, what a day today with, no, I'm not talking about the weather. It is a good day to take your dog for a walk though. If
sure.
We're, you know, it's also a good day to get
nice
married.
Nice break in the clouds.
Isn't
yeah.
it?
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good day to get married. Big
but
day
But you
today.
Can't cause you're already married.
Well, I'm already married. Yeah. I now have more rights though today than I did yesterday. So that's
Which
cool.
Which is fantastic news.
Yeah. So, couple of announcements. Of course, this is the last week before the Sparks Conference. This weekend, June 28th, 29th, and 30th, in Redmond, caninescience.info is the website. Dr. Alexandra Horowitz, who I just spoke with on today's show, if you've missed any part of this episode or any of our past 226 now episodes, you can find them online at dogradioshow.com. You can find them on iTunes as a free audio podcast. You can also listen to us live on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. And then, of course, live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. on KKNW AM 1150. Caninescience.info. Check it out. Seriously, if you're in the area, this is crazy. All the people that are going to be at this, I can't wait. Really, once in a lifetime. Nothing like this has come into the area as far as I've ever seen. Also, so I mentioned earlier on the show, was talking with the owner of Glassy Baby, Lee Rhodes, about they do a lot to support organizations that help, you know, promote healing. And they are huge dog lovers, and they do donate quite a bit. They've donated almost $20,000 to the Humane Society. I was talking about the A-Help Project, and I've had Michelle Nichols on the show a few times. She's one of the founders of the organization. It's the Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care Project. And it's really just supporting people and their pets around the end-of-life process. And that can look a lot of different ways. Anyone that has... you know, had to go through that with a pet before or multiple pets. It's not a predictable situation to be in, and certainly not an easy one. And there is a, I think I ran out of time last week, but I wanted to announce that for people who are really interested in this conversation, there is a event coming up locally called Spirits in Transition. And it's about animal hospice care, and it's in November. And you can go to the website spiritsintransition.com. I'll post a link to it on our website, which is dogradioshow.com. November 15th through the 17th, there's a weekend seminar, and then it looks like there's another workshop right after that, the 19th to the 20th, both in Seattle. And again, you can learn more about that on their website, spiritsintransition.com. And if you'd like to learn more about the AHELP project, their website is ahelpproject.org. And that's A-H-E-L-P, project.org. I'll post a link to them as well on our website. But it's an organization. The AHELP project is an organization that's been around for a few years now, but is actually in the process of becoming a nonprofit organization. It's been filed. We're just waiting to hear back. And when that happens, I am actually going to be on the board of directors for AHELP Project, and I'm the chair of the professional network. So if you are a local professional who would like to be listed as a resource for people, perhaps you're a veterinarian or you do animal massage, or maybe you're an artist and you do paintings of pets or anything like that, feel free to get in touch with me about that. You can always, anybody can email me at host@dogradioshow.com, and that gets directly to me. We also have some space on the show for partnerships. If you are a dog-loving business or a business directly in the industry, and you feel you would be a good fit to be promoted on the dog show, then get in touch with me, and I would be happy to send you more information about that. Very affordable. We have a local and national audience, and we've been on the air for over 4.5 years now. So it's a great way to promote your dog-loving or dog-related business. And again, my email is host@dogradioshow.com, and I'd be happy to send you more information about that. I got such an amazing email from a listener in Long Island, actually. Really, really touching. I posted on our Facebook page. We do have a Facebook page. Just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, and you'll find us on Facebook. And I posted that if anybody wants a car sticker, because we have these really cute car stickers that are free, that to just send me an email, and I'd be happy to mail you a sticker or a few stickers, or if you'd like a display, I'd even send you that. No charge at all. Just let me know. I've had some listeners actually send me photos. I just recently posted a photo of this adorable little Jack Russell Terrier, BB, who's standing on her kennel vocalizing to the camera, and she's got her little dog show sticker on her kennel proudly displayed. But I got an email from a listener, and it was really, really, it totally made my day, and I wanted to share it with you guys. Just totally reinforced what I do and made my day, and was, of course, sent them a sticker. He says, "We've been a fan of your show for several years now. I've learned a lot of great information I probably would never have seeked out. From puppy information to end of life, your show prepares me. We had a Maltese, Shilla, who had a broken foot that never healed for 16 years. On her last year, we got a companion, Sage, a Bichon Maltese rescue. He brought her joy because he was a loving friend. When she died suddenly, he was grief-stricken for a month, and we had to find him a new friend. Lara, mini poodle rescue, came malnourished from the streets of Philadelphia, a rough life. At first, they wouldn't look at each other, but they are now inseparable. Your program is very entertaining and informative. We made decisions that we probably would not have considered because of the information you gave. We've become involved in the dog community on Long Island through Long Island Dog. I'm a board member, and we're working to make Long Island more dog-friendly. We're on the other end of the country, but we're big fans. Please send us a couple of stickers." So I'm sending a shout-out to Shilla, Sage, and Lara, the little dogs over there in Long Island. Just a big thanks to their wonderful humans who are doing so much over there and who listened to the show and took the time to send me that email. So if you would like to email me and give me some feedback, maybe you have an idea for a show, or you just want to let me know maybe how listening to the show has impacted you and your dog, send me an email, host@dogradioshow.com, and be sure to find us on Facebook as well. Well, that brings us to the end of the show already. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll be back next Wednesday live from 2 to 3 p.m. Thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's no